It's easy to amen God supplying to somebody else. There's a whole nother thing when you got to trust God to meet your need.
Dr. Tony Evans talks about how to find trust in the midst of trials.
When Jesus shows up, he can turn what looked like a sure disaster into a supernatural miracle.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. Sometimes the distance between our prayer and God's answer is a lot longer than we'd like. But today, Dr. Evans says that trust is the bridge that brings the two together. Let's join him as he explains.
Here we have one of a number of scenarios in Scripture where Jesus Christ is developing his disciples in an arena where many of them are very familiar, water. As you know, a number of the disciples come from a fishing family. They lived around the Sea of Galilee, and they knew the water well. Mark chapter 4, one of my all-time favorite stories, verse 35. On that day when evening came, he, Jesus, said to them, the disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd, they took him along with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him. As they arose, a fierce gale of wind. Here we go, another stormy situation. And the waves were breaking over the boat so much that the boat was already filling up. So now these fishermen are in a boat that's filling up with water. That's a death trap. Jesus himself was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. Now, wait a minute. Time out. Jesus is in the same boat with them, going through the same storm with them, and he's snoring. But not only is he's snoring on a cushion. A cushion is a pillow. Whenever you are asleep on a pillow, that meant you meant to go to sleep. I mean, that's purposeful sleep. In the middle of a storm. And we're not talking about a minor storm. We're talking about a storm that's filling the boat up. So they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Isn't that how you feel when you're caught in the catch 22? When you're between a rock and a hard place, isn't that what Israel felt? Between Pharaoh and the Red Sea? You don't care. Why you bring us out of Egypt? You don't care about us. Probably some people here this evening. God, you can't care. Not allow me to be in this storm and you sleeping on me. Because sometimes it feels like God's sleeping on you, doesn't it? Yeah. You know, you're trying to dial heaven and you keep getting a busy signal. Okay? He done napped on you. He must be asleep because he's not doing anything. Because my boat is filling up. The storm is out of control. So they raise a very fundamental question. Do you not care? They woke him up. They shook him till he got up. He got up and rebuked the wind and the sea and said, "Hush, be still." What did the King James say? "Peace, be still." Well, wait a minute now. If you tell peace to be still, that must mean peace is moving. If you're telling peace to be still, then that means peace is moving. So you can be in a storm and be at peace. Because that's what Jesus was. He was asleep in the middle of a storm. So he tells peace to be still. He tells calm to rule. And the wind died down and it became perfectly calm. And he said to them, "Why are you afraid? How is it that you have no faith?" Now, quite frankly, I have a problem with the question. I mean, on a human side, that doesn't sound like an informed question. Why do we have so little faith? And why are we so timid? I could see Peter now saying, "I don't know. Could it be because we're getting ready to die?" Boat's filling up. The thing's getting ready to sink. What kind of question is that? You know, sometimes it doesn't seem like God's in tune with my situation. if the truth be told. Now, you can't say that too loud. People think you're not saved. All right? But come on, tell the truth, shame the devil. You feel it sometime, right? God, you're a little off on this one, right? Because sometimes it does appear, I'm going to tell the truth, shame the devil. Sometimes it does appear God is not quite up to snuff on what he's doing. Now, I'll tell you that. I'm not going to tell him that. Sometimes it just feels that way. So they say, do you not care? But Jesus comes to them and says, you guys are weak. Weak. You don't have any faith. That sounds like, if Jesus was in the hood, I'd say to him, you cold. That's too cold. That's cold. That's cold-blooded. You're not understanding my situation. That's too cold, Jesus. Why would he say something that sounds so harsh? Let me help you. Please pay attention to verse 35. On the day when evening came, he said to them, let us go over to the other side. Let us go over to, not let us go halfway and die. Not let me make it by myself and I hope y'all get there too. It is let us go to the other side. But they did what we'd usually do on Sundays or in seminars like this. Say amen without paying attention. Amen? All right, I just want to make sure you hear. In other words, he said, gentlemen, we are all going to the other side. If you would have listened to the sermon, when you saw me on my pillar, you would have gotten your pillar too. Because I said, this is where we're going to wind up. You listened to my word, but you didn't hear my voice. And the only way I know to show you whether you were listening or not is to let something contrary take place and see what you're going to do. I don't need to know for me. I know what you're going to do. I need you to know for you. Because you're not nearly as full of faith as you think you are. And the circumstances are proving it. He says, after he tells the wind to be calm, verse 41, they became very much afraid and said to one another, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Okay, look at what this contrary situation did. It let them see Jesus at a whole nother level. They were afraid of the storm. When Jesus is finished with them, verse 41, it says they were very much afraid. Now you're afraid of the right thing, fearing God, not fearing the circumstances. It reminds me of the story of the woman who was driving, and she looked in a rearview mirror, and there's this big 18-wheeler behind her, and it was getting too close for comfort. So she sped up. When she sped up, the 18-wheeler sped up. Every place she got off, the 18-wheeler got off. She's now terrified because she's now being followed by this guy in an 18-wheeler. So the 18-wheeler gets closer and closer and closer and closer. So she rushes and pulls into a filling station, jumps out the car, screams because she's terrified. 18-wheeler pulls in right behind her. As she runs into the store, the gentleman in the 18-wheeler jumps out the cab. He comes down. He goes to the back seat of her car. He jerks open the back seat. He reaches in the back seat and pulls out a man that had snuck into the car when she did not know it. What she thought was the one designed to hurt her was actually the Savior pursuing her. But because she didn't have all the information, she was fearing the wrong person. A lot of times we wind up fearing the wrong person. We're looking at the circumstance and it looks like the thing is against us, when actually it's the Savior tracking us with stuff we can't see in order to give us an experience that we wouldn't normally have of his delivering power. So what God wants us to do is experience him at a deeper level. Now, back to our story in Mark chapter 6. Take courage, verse 50. It is I, do not be afraid. Then he got into the boat with them and the wind stopped, okay? He calms them down internally with the word, take courage. When he gets into the boat, when he joins them in the situation, the external stops. The external does not stop until he joins them. The internal stops when he speaks to them. So just like on the Emmaus Road, he speaks to them, that's one level, but when he joined them, when his word became a personal relationship, it affected their circumstance. And so it says they were utterly shocked, astonished. What in the world? Why were they astonished? Verse 52 tells you. For they had not gained any insight from the incident of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. Okay. Your heart has two options, to soften or harden. Those are the only two options. It does not have the option of being neutral. That takes us to the preceding story. The preceding story, the one that leads into this story, is the story of the loaves and the fish, or the feeding of the 5,000. So in order to understand Jesus' point of the story that we just went over, we have to understand what he meant by their hearts were hardened because they didn't learn anything from the loaves and the fish.
Dr. Evans will review that story for us when he returns in a moment to continue this lesson from his current series, Believe. This four-message collection will convince you that God can be trusted even during your toughest times. You'll find the courage you need to press on and discover how today's trials prepare you for tomorrow's victories. And if you contact us within the next couple of days, we'll send you the full-length CDs of all four lessons in this set as our way of saying thanks for any contribution you make, large or small, to help keep Tony's teaching on this station. This offer ends Wednesday, so visit us today at TonyEvans.org or give us a call day or night at 1-800-800-3222 and request your copy of Believe. Right now, though, Dr. Evans is back with part two of today's lesson.
The story is there are 5,000 men, not counting women and children. So that's like 20,000 people out there listening to Jesus teach. It's now lunchtime. So Jesus wants to know, how are we going to feed all these people? When John tells a story in John 6, which we're going to look to in closing in just a moment, when John tells a story, John says, Jesus asks Philip, how are we going to feed all these people? Philip said, I don't have the slightest idea. He says, we don't have enough money to feed all these people. Okay, skip you, Philip. He then calls Andrew and asks Andrew, Andrew? It's time for these folk to eat. How are we going to feed all these people? Andrew, I don't have the slightest idea. McDonald's is closed. I mean, there is no food out here to feed them. In fact, Jesus, the only food I've seen out here is a little boy with some lunch. He's got 5 barley loaves, 2 fish, 5 barley loaves. That's like sardines and crackers. All right? That's basically all this kid has. He's got 2 fish and some barley loaves, a little pancake bread. He said, and that's all we got. We got a kid with lunch. Jesus said, bring him to me. I want to see this kid when he gets to heaven. Because this kid could have said, this is my lunch. That was an option. Mama gave me this. I told him I was going out to hear Jesus, and she said, in case you get hungry, here's some sardines and crackers. But Jesus asked for the boy's sardines and crackers, asked for his lunch. He took his lunch to Jesus, or Andrew took it to Jesus. I take it Andrew ain't snatch it from him, but ask him, could I have it? Jesus commands them then to sit down in groups. Verse 41 says, he blessed the food. Have you ever felt like some things aren't worth giving thanks for? Like it's too small. I got 20,000 people sitting out here, hungry as all get out. I got sardines and crackers, and we're going to give thanks? You're asking me, watch this, to give thanks for insufficiency. You're asking me to give thanks for not enough. Not only are you asking me to give thanks for not enough, you're asking me to give thanks for not nearly enough. I mean, this isn't even in the ballpark of enough. Jesus blessed it. A great lesson here. They are in an impossible situation, a rock and a hard place in the previous story, because there is not enough food to meet the need, yet the need needs to be met. How are we going to make it? That's what Jesus asked Philip and Andrew. Their answer was, we don't see any way on earth to make it. We have limited supply. But Jesus, one of the versions, one of the stories says, gave thanks for not enough. Lord, I thank you that even though we do not have enough, I thank you for what you have provided and am trusting you to turn not enough into more than enough. God, I'm putting this into your hands. The next part of verse 41 says, after blessing it, he broke the loaves and kept giving them to the disciples to set before them. Okay, Jesus prays, blesses it, Moby Dick's laying on the beach. Okay? Orca the killer whale, something, but it's huge. Because they keep breaking it off and giving it to people. They ate and were satisfied. But they eaten not enough. They picked up 12 full baskets of the broken pieces and also of the fish. We talking leftovers. 12 baskets full of leftovers. This is after 20,000 people have eaten and are satisfied. So they're not just getting a morsel. They're eating until they've had enough. And there are just the right amount of leftovers for each disciple to have a doggy bag to remind them of what just happened. So there are 12 doggy bags left over that are boxed up for them to take home as their reminder. Reminder of what? When you're caught in a catch-22, the tendency is to complain rather than give thanks. The tendency is to complain rather than bless. When you're caught in a catch-22, the tendency is to bail out on God rather than affirm your faith in God, even though you can't see it. Habakkuk is my hero here. Habakkuk, the three chapters in Habakkuk, he says, God, I don't know what you're doing. I don't understand how you're doing it. You're making no sense to me. I'm frustrated, aggravated, irritated, exacerbated because you are not just coming through right for me. And he makes all his complaints. And then he comes to the last three verses there and he says, but in spite of what I don't understand, in spite of the fact that you are just messing me up with what you're doing and that I am clueless in what you are about, he says, even though there are no figs on the tree, even though there is no cattle in the stall, even though there's nothing I can put my hands on to understand this mess, I will rejoice in the God of my salvation because you're going to give me hinds feet. Now, the reason why you want hinds feet is because the hinds feet climb mountain. They're mountain deer. And what they can do is climb mountain and rough terrain. You're going to give me the legs to handle climbing up this difficult situation. Because remember, I'm between a rock and a hard place. And I don't know how I'm going to maneuver through this. But Habakkuk says, you're going to give me hinds feet to be able to maneuver this terrain until I get to the top of where you're taking me. In other words, he praised God in the midst of a praiseless situation. That's what David did in Psalm 42. He says, as the deer pants after the water brook, so pants my soul after thee, O God. And then he says, see, because sometimes you got to talk to yourself. He says, so even though you are disquieted or frustrated within me, hope thou in God. I know you want to quit. I know you want to give up. I know you're in a dry and thirsty land, but you're going to have to talk to yourself. Or as I said earlier in 1 Samuel 30, he strengthened himself in the Lord. Because sometimes only you can strengthen you because there's nobody else to talk to. And so he keeps talking to himself. He said, because I'm going to yet praise you. I'm going to yet praise you. I don't know when, but I'm going to yet praise you. He blesses the Lord in the midst of not enough. And not only does he get enough, he gets some leftovers. Now that explains the first word of verse 45. Immediately, right after they saw what God can do, God put them in a situation to see if they really saw what God could do. Because it's one thing to see it for somebody else. It's another thing to trust it for you. It's one thing to hear it proclaimed. It's another thing to believe it when you're the one that's hungry. It's easy to amen God supplying it for somebody else. It's a whole nother thing when you lost your job and you got to trust God to meet your need. But he immediately, after letting them see what he could do, see whether they would trust him to do it for them by putting them between a rock and a hard place. So it looks like the story is over. But actually, the story is not quite over. Because this is one of the few stories that's also in the book of John. So let's look at what John tells us that nobody else tells us. John chapter 6, verse 20. Same situation. But he said to them, "It is I. Do not be afraid." Okay, everybody remember that from Mark? Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. Okay. So they were willing to receive him into the boat. Well, Mark tells us he got in the boat. But John gives us a little bit more information. Because Mark says he was willing to pass them by. Then it says he got into the boat. But now we know why he got into the boat. Because when John tells us, John says they willingly received him into the boat. Same thing in Emmaus Road. They willingly received him into their house. So they received him. When they received him, we got a doozy here. Second half, verse 21. And immediately the boat was at the land to which they were going. You didn't just miss that, did you? The end of verse 21 says, and when? Immediately the boat was at the land to which they were going. Wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. Last time I checked, the boat was in the middle of the sea. Last time I checked, the boat was 4 miles out. They were between a rock and a hard place. Should we keep going? Should we turn back? We are terrified and it's dark. But when they received him, a miraculous thing happened. 4 miles was covered immediately. The distance between where they were and where they needed to be was supernaturally closed simply because Jesus was now on the boat. When Jesus shows up in your messed up situation, when Jesus shows up in your jacked up scenario, when Jesus shows up, not simply because you've heard his word, but because you've received his person, he can close the gap of time, close the gap of situation, close the gap of scenarios, and immediately turn what looked like a sure disaster into a supernatural miracle. So the next time you're between a rock and a hard place, don't you give up on Jesus. You draw near to him so he can draw near to you and close up some gaps that would seem like there would be no hope in sight. God bless you as you have victory in your rock and hard place.
Dr. Tony Evans talking about ways we can trust our way through trials. If you'd like to get the full-length version of this lesson, including a lot of material we didn't have time to present on the air today, contact us about the message titled Trials and Trusting. It's available either individually or as part of Tony's current series called Believe. Don't forget all 4 full-length lessons in this collection will be yours with our thanks when you make any contribution to help us carry the message of the alternative around the country and around the world. But as I mentioned, this special offer runs out on Wednesday. Make your request today at TonyEvans.org or call us at 1-800-800-3222, where the friendly people in our resource center will be happy to help you. That's 1-800-800-3222. Dr. Evans knows that when trials or tragedies strike, it's easy to start asking, "Where were you, God?" Well, he'll answer that question tomorrow as he talks about the story of Lazarus and explains why there may still be life in circumstances and relationships we think are dead. Be sure to join us. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.